listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host of the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have hip-hop sensation, Egyptian rapper, Souf. How are you, Souf?
What up, Nikki? How are you?
That name, I mean, just like it hits you. Like, yeah. A ton of bricks. It's like, oof.
How are you, man? It's been a minute. Okay, I haven't seen you in a while.
I know, man. You've been hiding out, dude. You've been hiding out in Long Beach.
I'm out here in Long Beach. Yeah, I'm in Long Beach. We got to catch each other somewhere else or maybe out in the water on these waves.
I'm always down. Do you surf? Do you surf?
I surf.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I'm like, usually when the surf's supposed to be good this week, it's like some crazy swell.
Yeah, I just got back in town, so I got to check the wave report out. Hopefully, I'll get out this week.
So, do you go early in the morning, or do you go like, what's your time?
I've only ever gone early in the morning, but I was just talking to my homie who I surfed with last week about. I'll be driving on PCH every now and then, and I'll see people surf. Like, actually, I won't see people surfing. They'll just be sitting in the water in the afternoon.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I want to try an afternoon surf one day, but I'm usually out there in the morning.
I love it in the afternoon or like midday just because the sun's out. Like, yeah. Something about like getting into cold water when it's super, like super early. Yeah. It's hard. I've done it many a times, but there's something about that afternoon sunset I love the most because it's the best. But the best conditions are early in the morning. I like sleep, man. I like to wake up at like 9 o'clock at least.
Well, I got two kids, so I'm up early anyway. So
That's right. Yeah. Well, let's talk about your hip hop influence. What was the moment of Zen that made you want to become a rapper, and what made you fall in love with hip hop?
Oh man. The moment of Zen. I don't know if I could call it one moment, but I'm lucky. You know, I consider myself one of the lucky ones to have grown up with all the incredible hip hop of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
So it's more like a collection of moments and the experience of, you know, coming of age while having access to and listening to and life being soundtracked by, you know, all like just all the OG stuff, everything from, you know, Rakim, Run DMC, Wu-Tang, yeah, Hove, De La Soul, the whole Soul Koreans crew, actually, everyone on Raucous. I mean, like you name it, right? You know, I grew up listening to all that. Outkast. I remember the first time I heard the Southern Playlistic album. Man, that just it's like anyone who grew up in that time probably would say the same thing.
I saw them open up for Lauryn Hill on the Miseducation tour, and it was just like, it was so badass.
Oh, good.
But I feel like Outkast, like on Speaker Box, really came into their own because I saw them headline Coachella, like, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is the act that I can see that they were starting to become when I first saw them. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's cool. But like, I was way into Ice Cube. I love
West Coast hip hop too. I didn't even name any of the West Coast influences.
Like Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Eazy-E, all of that was
Tupac.
I love talking hip hop with rappers because it's like I can go into deep cuts, like even like Pharoah Monch, who's one of my favorites.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you know, people like Black Sheep, Tribe Called Quest, but also
Tribe. You know,
it's like Das Effects. I love Das Effects. I love a lot of that stuff. A little bit of mix of East Coast and West Coast.
I just put some Das Effects on the other day, actually.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that. It took me a while, actually, to kind of like love Tupac and Biggie just because I was so into the stuff before them so much more. But now it's like I see that it was just an all like an evolution of like hip hop and sound and flow and all of that. Yeah. So
Nas, Biggie, we didn't even say Nas, Biggie. I mean, that's just we're so lucky, right? Yes. To have grown up at that time. That's just.
Well, let me answer your question just off the bat. What do you think of hip hop now? Do you think, like, one thing I notice is the beats aren't as big, the rhymes sometimes are not as clever as like the stuff I grew up with, but there's some stuff like you see Kendrick Lamar, you see people like that, that you're like, okay, I get it. But what's your take on hip hop right now?
You know, I've gone through, life has been sort of a roller coaster ride for me as far as the answer to that question goes. I spent many years as a DJ too. So I started as an MC in a group and then evolved. I kind of followed the path. You know, I learned how to DJ led to producing. And then that sort of led me away from being an MC for a while. And then I came back to MCing, but, you know, I DJed at a time when hip hop really, really moved into the club and really, really moved mainstream. And at the time, I can't lie. I think the experience of having done that, maybe pushed me out of love with it for a little bit.
Wow. Yeah, why is that? You think it was like
too strong, but you know, I was too purist, frankly. Like right. I just look back at myself even DJing, and I was, you know, I took too purist of an approach. But anyway, all that is to say, hip hop has always been amazing, and hip hop, I don't think, has ever lost its soul. You know, the people, we've always had that conversation, like, is hip hop dead? Is hip hop dying? Who's resurrecting hip hop? If you look at it today, like any other art form, right, it has just proliferated.
Right.
And hip hop is everywhere, literally everywhere. MCs are everywhere, right? You could walk down any street, any given time of day, in almost any city and run into an MC, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Which is to say, and then of course, you know, the growth of the streaming platforms, the democratization of the creation of the music, the production, the recording, you know, anybody can make a record that sounds good or sounds good enough to be streamed. Right. So the fact is we have more of it. The ocean is bigger. And so for you to find, you know, the treasure in the ocean, gets harder as the ocean grows, right?
Right.
So I could say, like, you know, I feel this in my heart. I think hip hop is as great as it's ever been. I mean, there is incredible hip hop out there, and yes, and incredible hip hop being made every day and being put out every day. With, you know, intricate lyricism and creative production, old sounds and new, right? We have to leave room and allow for room, even though we grew up in the old school. We have to allow for room for new sounds to come out,
right,
and new ways of making the music to rise to the top. I'm as in love with hip hop as I think I've ever been, honestly.
The crazy thing for me is, like, I love, like, drums and grooves are like what I love, and one of the things that drew me to hip hop where the drums and the grooves and all the samples were huge. They were big, big kick drums, big snares. Like, even 808s were still cool. Now it's like all the size of the beats are smaller. Mm-hmm. They're like smoother. They're more, I guess, accessible in some ways.
Yeah.
But man, I miss those big beats. I mean, I was just listening to, you know, a record from 16 years ago. I don't know if you know Q-Tip, the Renaissance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Favorite records. Yeah. I love that record, is so underrated. And I was listening to it today and I'm like, man, this stuff still sings to me. It's just like when I hear it, it was like hearing it all over again today, just because I've heard so much hip hop that's, you know, of today, and it's got smaller beats, smaller sounds, like less almost intellectual rhymes sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it also, you know, to support what you're saying, it's also where you're looking. I'm looking at mainstream.
Yeah, I think it depends what you're listening to.
Most of the cool hip hop these days is underground, where it kind of always has been. But man, we grew up in a time where some of the best hip hop was in the mainstream. And it's like, mm-hmm. there was no denying Dr. Dre, The Chronic. There was no denying Ice Cube, you know, Predator or Lethal Injection. Yeah. There was no denying Snoop Dogg, you know, Doggy Style. There was no denying those records. And then you hear the Jay-Z's and you hear, you know, the next generation. It's like, oh, this just slams. And I don't see that as much. Like, it was even early Kanye West is like some of the best hip hop.
Oh, yeah.
And like some of the stuff I love the most. But I don't hear that in today's hip hop. And it bums me out because I just love big beats and good rhymes and smart rhymes and like timely rhymes, like talking about things that are going on in the cultural movements. That's so important, which is something that you're doing. So that was bringing me to my next question. How much do you draw from social and political issues when you're rhyming or talking about, you know, cultural issues or in your songs? Like, how much do you draw from that, from personal experience and from what's going on in the world, from what you see in the news or your reading?
Yeah, good question. I will say, though, you just inspired me to make you a playlist. I'm going to make you a
playlist. I love it. Please, send it to me.
New hip hop, which will reinvigorate you. You know, the answer to this question kind of ties back to your first question, because I initially answered, you know, the how I got into it by talking about influence and era. But, you know, growing up, so I grew up Egyptian, Arab, Muslim, whatever, pick your first part of the hyphen, American in the Midwest in, you know, the 80s and 90s. And had you know that experience, and what really pushed us, when I say us, is my cousins and I formed a group back in the 90s, which is how I started. What pushed us to do it was that it's how we felt we could speak our truth and talk about just our lived experience,
right,
as Arab Americans, right? As minority Americans in a place like the Midwest at a time like that.
Right.
And so you had social issues, political issues, religious issues. You know, we talked about geography a lot. We talked about roots a lot, actually. Like most of what we talked about was looking back at our roots. And this carries through to my music today and sort of not forgetting where we come from, honoring that, carrying that forward. And so, like a lot of hip hop, honestly, like it started for me as a way to express how I felt and how I reflected on what was going on around me,
right,
and my experience with it. And it remains so today. So yes, I absolutely draw on, you know, what's happening around us socially, politically, culturally, and frankly, you know, as someone who has the ability and the opportunity to make music, release music, perform music, write live for people. I would be doing myself, frankly, and everyone around me a disservice to not approach the music like that and not come from a place where, you know, we need people to talk to us about these things and we need people to reflect on. And that's what art has always been, you know, all forms of art. So 100%, it's everything actually in terms of inspiration.
Well, what I love too, it's like, you know, you and a lot of hip hop artists, they're talking about issues that aren't necessarily mainstream, that aren't necessarily, you know, things that are making the news. These are things from like personal experiences or from the street or from, you know, ghettos or from, you know, playgrounds, whatever it is that you're kind of seeing all these things taking place. And it's an important voice that needs to be more of a spotlight in society. And it's like, that's how it came up. And it's like the issues that it can, you know, talk about now can diversify so much more into different ethnicities. I mean, right now you probably have more things to say with what's going on in the world, with just like from your religious stance, you know, or from you being a Muslim and Egyptian in America right now with everything that's going on politically, you know, than you probably did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, whatever it is. So do you feel like this is the time for more artists to rise and kind of put that spotlight on those issues? Or do you feel like it's not going to necessarily make the mainstream because you're talking about difficult things?
That's a good question. Well, I think it is the time for more artists to rise. Also, more artists have risen. You know, when I started, there was a handful of us. And by us, I mean, I'll look at it through, let's call it the Arab American lens, right? There was a handful of groups or MCs making music the way we were making music. And this was pre, you know, pre-streaming, pre-internet, really. We were still walking CDs into radio stations at that time and passing flyers out on the streets. So, the sort of the scene, right, that we were all part of, but and connected to one another through from afar, didn't have the chance to really congeal and grow. But with the proliferation of and the growth of the internet and streaming and all that, social platforms, of course. More and more people from not just my minority groups, but any and all minority groups rose to the surface, right, and began making the music that they needed to make and or felt like they wanted to hear but weren't hearing enough of. And so I think about it a little less in terms of mainstream and not. And in this day and age, because the industry's changed a lot, right? And the way music gets out there has changed a lot. I think about it more in terms of is the music and is the message really reaching the people it needs to reach?
I love that, because there's boot serum in what you're speaking about, what you're writing about. I think all artists kind of have that place of like, we're coming from a truthful, honest place. That's what makes the best art. And how do you think it's being, you know, spread across to the youth or the masses or maybe minorities? How do you think it's being, you know, accessed, you know, by those groups?
The music?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine specifically or in general?
I'd say both. Yeah. Talk about your like personal experience and then also how it's being kind of, you know, embraced like across the board.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, I'll also touch on what's crazy is I think you asked if I feel like I have more to talk about today than I did 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
And what's crazy is a lot of things haven't changed. Like we're saying a lot of the same things we said 10, 15, 20, you know, years ago, 25 years ago. Which is, you know, sad. But more of us are saying it. More people are hearing it. More people are echoing it. It's reverberating in more ways, more of the ways that it needs to, I would say, in a popular sense, right? As far as like people go around the world. I mean, the how question is easy, right? You know, these days we have the world is more connected than it's ever been, right? Again, another very interesting dynamic is when I started, there was no real connection, you know, from, say, the Americas to back home, right?
Wow.
So the connection between, you know, what was a budding scene in America and what was also a budding but very underground scene, let's say back in Egypt or any of the other Arab countries, there was no real connection, but that connection grew over time.
Right.
Thanks to the work of, you know, many of the artists that have been around as long as and stuck around, frankly, and did a lot, did a lot more than I did in a certain period of time to build that and build those bridges. You know, you have artists like The Narcissist, Omar Effendim, artists in the UK by the name of Shadia Mansour. There's a group out of Palestine called Dam, D-A-M. They've been around for as long as the scene's been around. I could go on and on. There's a lot of names. But the fact is, you know, that work to build the culture and create the culture and build the scene and build the bridges, brought more people into it first and foremost as audience.
Right.
And then as younger generations came up and saw, you know, bits and pieces of what they wanted to hear more of.
Right.
Right. When we grew up, we had none of it. I had no Egyptian American MCs to look to as inspiration. I had no Arab American MCs to look to, or Muslim American for that matter. But you know, as time passed, you know, more and more of the youth, right, came into it, began to make it themselves. And it's a burgeoning scene at this point. I mean, there are hundreds, if not thousands, I would say, of artists around the world, in what I would call like the scene I've been talking about,
right. And
other scenes for that matter, other, you know, minority scenes, or niche scenes making all sorts of music, not just hip hop. And with social media, it's everywhere. It doesn't, you know, it's not that hard to connect with and find and listen to and follow along with artists that look and speak and come from, you know, like you and in the same places you come from.
Do you think some of the Arab countries are doing as much as they can to censor some of this? Like, that's always been a huge thing to kind of like control, you know, that sect of, you know, views by censoring messages that may be abrasive. I'm sure it's still happening. I know, you know, it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, of course it is. Yeah. Yeah. Of course it is. And it will continue to, sadly, but, you know, the fact is at this point, like the power to the people, right. As we've always said, and the music will find a way, the message will find a way. And so you have this incredible phenomenon where, you know, there's the mainstream or what is sort of like accepted and co-opted by, whether you want to call it like the establishment or, you know, the nation, whatever nation you're talking about, or sort of pop culture.
Right.
And then there's this entire parallel universe, which is in many cases and places bigger and growing faster, and going more viral than, right, some of the mainstream stuff. The message finds a way, man, always.
I love that. Speaking of message, let's start playing something of yours. What do you want us to play first? Your choice.
Let's see, what do we got? Let's see, let me try to remember what I queued up for you. Why don't you start with Dreams and Koofy?
Dreams of Kofi?
Dreams and Koofy, yeah. It's the Dreams and Koofy. I think I sent you the music video.
All right. That's
a good one that kind of encapsulates too. We could talk after it encapsulates some of the answers to your first questions.
All right, here's Dreams and Koofy by Soof.
Yeah, how much time did Oak Cuts from spend on the intro? Lately I've been feeling like Ahmed Rami in limbo. Crazy in love, writing, trying to assemble figments of my imagination, pieces all akimbo. My ancestors sat me down and talked me through it. Keep it land fertile, use it or else you lose it. Feed your soul daily, teach your kids to improve it. Keep us in your heart and watch us live through the music. On and on like the beauty of Fayum. My tree of life stay rocking in full bloom. Enjoy the fruit, keep eating, not full soon. And watch my tribe keep shining like full moon. My candle burning, just look at my soul glow. Thousands of miles away, but still feel like I'm back home. Yeah. It's time to travel, remember to take it slow. Remember where you began, you'll always know where to go. Oh. Roots deep, so rich, and I drink it Koofy. Roots deep, so rich, and I drink it Koofy. So rich and I dream it Koofy. Yeah. It was written, Koofy in the manuscripts, from right to left, just like the sun and puffin' Biggie trips. Long ago, the song was written down in hieroglyphs. Sun kissed, but still the vibe is right and color rich. Reading Quran at my grandma's grave. Sight clear, heart full, that's how my grandma stayed. Remember eating at the table back in grandma days. Now I'm busy trying to make another golden age. Busy taking effort TDs out the basement. Gold plated, no way to ever replace it. Protect your past, don't let the looters erase it. Be the future, remember to stay ancient. My people with me, it's caravan flow. Bedouin on the beach, they rocking like heave-ho. Sand ships in the desert is all it knows. Remember where you began, you'll always know where to go. Oh, roots deep, so rich, and I dream it koofy. Roots deep, so rich, and I dream it koofy. Roots deep, so rich, and I dream it koofy. Yeah, roots deep, so rich, and I dream it koofy. Yeah, how much time did Omokatsune spend on the intro? Yeah, how much time did Omokatsune spend on the intro? You know that thing about the place where your mom's from, or where your pops from, or where your pops pop from, or where you're not from, or where you belong, or where you were born, that's where the song's from. So next time they ask where you from, don't get it wrong, go with your heart, son, follow the sun. And take it slow, remember where you began, you'll always know where to go, oh.
That's cool, man. I like the groove. The groove has got a lot of those Middle Eastern instruments, got a lot of stuff going on. Tell me like what inspired and influenced that song.
Yeah, so thank you. I hope that beat was big enough for you too.
Awesome. So, that's what I love, man. That's what I love.
Yeah. So that song, so that the whole idea for that song started from the phrase "I dream in Kufi." And so Kufi is the first calligraphic script in which the Arabic language was written long ago. It originated in a town in the city Kufa in Iraq, and hence the name Kufi, the name of the script. And you saw actually, so the titles were written in the Kufic script, the turquoise titles at the top and at the end, the credits. And so the idea is that, like, I close my eyes and I dream in this very original sort of, not ancient, but like very old now, script of my mother tongue. Which is to say also, you know, I dream the dreams of my ancestors. Right. And I can see the dreams of my ancestors in my dreams when I close my eyes. And then, you know, I just built the song around that. It's about roots. It's about remembering where you come from. You know, one of the refrains is remember where you began. You'll always know where to go. Right. That's a big deal in a lot of my music. I say different versions of that. Honestly, a lot. I talk about ancestors. And one of the big themes that that I try to carry in my music and impress upon and sort of engage my audience on is this idea that we are a reflection of our ancestors.
Right.
We are also all still carried by our ancestors and the paths they paved and the work they did that came before us, while at the same time, we are the future's ancestors, right? And so this connection of past, present, and future, maintenance of culture, honoring of culture, honoring of roots, this is all really important to me. One, in the way I live, and then two, obviously in the way I am in my music. And then sonically, you know, I wanted to start with that one. One, because it sort of touches on some of the answers to the questions you asked me at the beginning. Two, I call that style desert boom bap. So I try to take, you know, what I think is really obvious and clear boom bap influence and weave into it, you know, the sounds of where I'm from. And so sonically, it's like this, it's this melding of worlds. It's gritty. It should bounce the way you want it to bounce, the way the old school beats bounce.
Yeah. So, right. It's like, oh yeah, this is what it's
so
about.
I love the sound too.
Yeah. And I love that you took a cultural focal point in the sound and made that the backbeat. How much of that was like super focused to make sure that was going to be what you would draw the story on, you know, like as the background?
Yeah, good question. You know, I on that one, I actually started writing. So sometimes I'll write lyrics first. Or I'll have some of the lyrics, and then, you know, right, they'll find a home in the right music, and then the whole song comes together. So that one, I had lyrics first. I went through a few. I produce as well, so I produced that track.
Cool.
I don't only rap on tracks I produce, but I produced that track. And I remember that beat went through a few iterations. All I knew is what I wanted it to sound and feel like,
right?
Which is sort of like that desert boom bap vibe. And it's like, when I had it, it just, you know, it worked, it clicked, and then the whole thing came together.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. I mean, it's, you're drawing from those big beats and you're, you know, doing it in like a smooth way, but telling a story about your culture, your ancestors, and doing it in a way that is not abrasive. It's like very accessible and very relatable. And I think that's what also makes it cool. It's like, you make us think. You have this intellectual kind of flow that is missing in a lot of like pop culture hip hop, you know, where it's like, it's about bling or it's about, you know, in the club or whatever.
Yeah. And thank
it's you. Like, I love like stream of consciousness kind of way of writing, you know, with hip hop. I love hearing like, you know, that's why Pharoah Monch is one of my favorite, you know,
Hip-hop
artists. Same way, you know, it's like, you're talking about something that is very now, very current, and something that's, you know, dealing with socioeconomic issues or cultural issues. And I think it's important. So I wanted to ask you too, like, what are your influences as far as some of the, you know, ways you want to kind of help hip hop to evolve? Like, what are you drawing from as far as like your influences creatively? Like, there's stuff that we love, and then there's stuff that we draw from.
Yeah.
What are those influences for you?
Man, I draw from so much. I'm really lucky to have grown up with a pretty diverse palette at home. I sort of osmosed a pretty diverse palette at home. Everything from, you know, the classics in Arabic music, Umm Kulthum, who I reference in that song, who you saw in the video.
Right.
You know, many other artists from that era. To, you know, my parents lived, they spent some time in England on their way from Egypt to the States. And so my dad had just stacks of tapes of like the Beatles and
that's awesome.
Moody Blues. And yeah. I mean, just like anything and everything from that era, that I just loved. I loved listening to that stuff when I was a kid. And then, you know, hip hop, R&B, like all the stuff we grew up listening to here, pop music, even rock. I listened to a lot of rock when I was a kid.
That's awesome.
So, all of it, man. And I listen to music from all over the world, literally all over the world.
That's how I am too. It's like, I love hearing musical stories from around the world. Sometimes I can listen to something that's in a different language. I don't even understand what it is.
Yeah.
And I feel it because
you feel like, it. Exactly.
Inflection or frequencies or like sounds that tell the story, you know? So I love that.
I think more specifically though, you know, as of late, I'll say I draw a lot of influence from, so I read a lot. When I sit down to write, I find myself reading a lot, and and I go back to, old Arabic poetry, and I try to draw from or reflect. It's very difficult because the Arabic language is, it's kind of on another plane of richness relative to the English language, but I draw a lot from that. You know, poetry and being poetic is real important to me. Intellect is as you noticed and mentioned, is very important to me. And so I'm very careful about the craft, and I'm very dedicated to the craft because the people, you know, I grew up listening to were also very dedicated to and very precise with the craft.
Right.
And I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't fall in love with that stuff. And so, you know, I mean, pick a name, right? I get, I mean, a lot of people lately, actually, I've been very flattered lately. A few people in the past, like couple shows I've done, come up to me afterwards and they'll say, I remind them of Mos Def, which is just kind of blows my mind. And
I hear it's that.
An honor to hear.
I hear like a combination between Mos Def and LL Cool J.
But I've heard that one before too. Yeah, in terms of flow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, we're a product of, you know, our environment, where we come from and what we grew up on, right?
Right. Right.
And then it's also, you know, the last thing I'll say just on that note is, these days, especially, I'd say the most important two listeners in the world for me are my sons.
Yeah.
And so I think about that with every single word I write, every line I write, every song I write. I want to be something that can live forever with them and in their minds and hearts. And then spirituality is also really important to me and increasingly important to me, especially these days in the way I write and in the way I deliver the music.
I love that. Well, let's play something else. What do you want to play us next?
Let's go. Well, on that note, let's go to Whispers from a Free World.
Here's Whispers from a Free World by Soof.
This song is about hope. Let's do it. It's called Whispers from a Free World. Snap with me if you want to snap. Whispers from a free world is what I hear in my sleep. I hope my dreams turn real one day. May we eat from all the fruit of this toiling despair, and may the end be sweet. Pray with me now. Oh, holla is what we holla. May our love be the vessel unto tomorrow, away from the pain and the bite of the drain on this plane, where the rich are really spiritually meek and deplete. Of all the glitter we should actually seek, would you rather own the sand or be free to run on the beach? Sometimes I wonder what the birds do share among themselves when they flying at sea. Be the change you want to be and wave bye-bye to a terrible sleep. You see, it's time to wake up and rise and pass the time in a dimension we can actually breathe. Inhale, taste the air when it's clean. Take care of the team. It's time to make for the prize of the divine and cut the tension, break the cycle and flee. Ride with me now, the road bumpy with glee. When we ride together, better weather we'll see. I hope we find a tether to the roots of the trees, and in the perfect moment take a picture and freeze. Smile with me now, and then forever we'll be running wild in an exceptional scene, where no child will need protection or scream. It might seem wild and you might question the dream. Imagine we the people we need, leave behind all the stress and the greed. Trust the vision. I know you might reel, but I suggest you just accept it and see. To the horizon from the west and the east, it doesn't matter what your color or creed. It ain't a race, it doesn't matter your speed. The tallest trees all started as seeds. Look. Look. Look what God gave us when he planted the trees. Alhamdulillah. God gave us when he planted the trees and hummed them now. Whispers from a free world.
I love that line, the tallest trees started from the sea.
Yeah, that's yeah. Cool.
That's really, yeah, man. Really great writing. Do you kind of like use a lot of imagery when you're kind of writing, you know, rhymes and raps? Do you kind of like draw on, you know, moving pictures of some sort?
Oh yeah, big time. Also, as and you'll appreciate this as a musician, right? And a creator of music generally, not just a musician, but of course, right? Like, I visualize as I create, and so, you know, everything from like, what colors do you want people to feel, what scenes do you want people to see, not only when they listen to the words, but when they hear the music, when they hear just the music without the words. So yeah, I'm big on that. Yeah, that song, so I debated whether to send you that live version or the recorded version, which wouldn't have had a performance along with it. But check out the recorded version too. It's different. It sounds a little different.
Cool.
Yeah, that's me and my band, The Caravan, performing.
The live band thing is
That sounds so good. And that song,
I know you had a gig on the 5th. I had to plan for a shoot on the 12th. So It was
all good, man. You'll catch
it. I want to see you live, man, because it's like I've seen the videos and they are awesome. And
to
play with the same band every time in this form.
Yeah, that's the crew right there. Yeah, me and the Caravan. Awesome. I'm so lucky. They're an incredible group of musicians. We jazz so well. We play together so well. The vibration is really high, as we say.
You haven't mentioned this as an influence yet, but I hear a lot of Beastie Boys in that. You know,
of course.
And like to modernize it too. There's a little bit of Gorillaz, kind of like that kind of vibe in it too, like that Damien Albarn kind of flow with the real instruments. You know, it's just cool. It's really cool. Yeah. It's like alternative hip hop. It's really neat.
Yeah, I think too, you know, one thing I enjoy and I try to do a decent amount of is I take chances stylistically and I explore a lot. And so you won't always, you know, whether you're listening to, you know, a project of mine or whether you come to a show of mine, you're not going to hear, you know, 45 minutes, 60 minutes straight of the same exact stuff.
Right.
It's going to sound different. It's going to travel. You know, it'll follow an arc. And that one right there, that's a good example of, you know, again, spirituality and sort of, spirituality. That song feels almost like prayer live when I perform it live, and just like the connection with the audience is something that's really special, something I'm really grateful for.
Well, it's cool too, because it's not super aggressive. It's like super chill. So it's like, you're just like kind of bringing people in right away with just the groove. And then the flow is also like, come here, let me tell you something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it just draws the ear in a little bit. And I love that. And, you know, when I was watching you, I was like, everything you can tell is very intentional. The way you dress, what you're talking about, the, you know, sense of like, there's no violence in your rhyme, which is great. Like, 'cause I think, you know, it's always great when you hear somebody be smart about what they're saying and how they're saying it and how they deliver the message. I think so much of hip hop can sometimes turn a blind, you know, turn off people and turn a blind eye and, you know, turn ears off because it spits, you know, sometimes in the face of society where you want to help change society. And sometimes it's easier to do that when you do a little bit of a more gentle approach, which is also fierce in its message. But
yeah, can be. Know, yeah.
Like you're wrapping it up in honey and sugar. So it's like, oh, this feels good. Yeah. Oh, there's something deep and potent here too. You know, so I think that's a good combination. Did you kind of like want to have that approach and make that kind of a big part of your sound when you were starting out, or just kind of like taking on messages and songs?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, some of our early stuff, the Desert Crew, which was the name of my group, is not as peaceful sounding.
Well, I mean, that sometimes,
you're like, yeah, we're like young, you know, young and feisty. No, but for sure, you know, a song like that one, that was very intentional, right? And
right.
And the cadence and the pace and the feeling and what it's about, right? It's, you know, it's called Whispers from a Free World. That song was inspired by, you know, the intense and quickly spreading and very deep and committed sort of movement across college campuses last year in support of the Palestinian people and the Palestinian cause.
Right.
And you know, it's called Whispers from a Free World because those students, those people, that movement, right? For me and a lot of other people who I've talked to, and I, you know, I talk about this at the shows before I perform it, you know, and everyone's like, yeah. Despite like the depth of the horror, right, and the violence that we've been seeing now for over a year, you know, movements like that and the popular support for for a free Palestine is something that I feel more hope in than I've ever felt.
Right.
Despite all of it. And to me that and so I very intentionally took that measured, you know, hopeful, you know, peaceful, spiritual approach to writing that message in that song. Obviously, there's a bunch of different ways you could come at that message. But yeah, it was very intentional on that one. And it feels, it felt so right. And it feels right every time I hear it or play it live.
I have a Palestinian saxophonist who was in the band. He passed a couple of years ago.
No,
my harmonica player was Jewish.
Okay.
And they used to play in harmony together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And we used to talk about it a lot in rehearsals. And, mm-hmm. you know, I would kind of like every now and then I'd put a spotlight on it. You know, like, here are these guys coming from warring countries, from different sides of religion, and yet they're making music together in perfect harmony, and it's possible. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's more that connects us than...
Yes.
There's more that connects us than there's that divides us.
So I feel like music can connect that message more, and I still believe in that message. I don't believe in what's happening, the way it's happening, at least, because... I think lives are more valuable than we want to believe. Yeah. You know, it's like human lives are right now like currency in these warring countries. So it's nice that you're bringing like a spotlight on like the peaceful approach, because we need more of that. You know, I think it's important. What do you want to play us next? Let's play something else.
Let's see. What else did I give you? Show Love. You got Show Love queued up there?
I think so.
This one's groovy. We'll pick it up from Whispers. Yeah, Show Love is a groovy one. And this is just a track, I think, not a performance.
All right, that's all right. Here's Show Love by Soof.
Soof. Yeah. Offend them. Cairo to Damascus. LA to NY. One love.
Feel it.
Yeah, one time for my people with vision who see love. Flowers in my garden, wake up and smell love. No place for hate, we breed love. Feel it in the groove and the music, we speak love. All in together now. We be chilling, no illness, we living better now. Alhamdulillah, we be feeling, we giving better now. We be breaking through ceilings, we building better now. Hand in hand, just do the math. When your brother show love, just give it back. Sister, together we stay attached. Family matters, we stay with the illest path. Yeah, if you with me, I'm feeling that. And if not, I'm still with it, matter of fact. Could you be loved? Cause love is a simple act. Could you be loved? Ain't nothing better than that.
Love, show love, y'all. Give love, and give love, y'all. One love, it's one love, y'all. Show love, show love, y'all. Show love, show love, y'all. Give love. Give love, y'all. One love. It's one love, y'all. Show love. Show love, y'all.
Yeah, offend them. Tell them a little something about love, man.
Yalla. Fedger, man, what a pleasure, man. We do this all for the love of the edger, man. It's not a game, not a day's been the same since my little man came into the frame. What a treasure, man. Look, I don't need no pot of gold, just rainbows. Nothing new under the sky, as the saying goes. Spread your wings, take flight, straighten up and fly. Right, Nat Cole was the king, not these lames, though. We know the man, but been chilling in some plain clothes. Red felt feds, traded in for Kangos. Got a rock Adidas from the fetus, put that record on repeat, it's so fresh. Don't get caught up in appearances. Is every brother with a beard for the call?
Nah.
Is every sister in heels finna fall?
Nah.
Will any scripture reveal to us all what it's like to be free?
Say inshallah. Show love, y'all. And give love, y'all. One love, it's one love, y'all. Show love, show love, y'all. Show love, show love, y'all. And give love. Give love, y'all. One love. It's one love, y'all. Show love. Show love, y'all.
Yeah. Soof and offend 'em. It's all love.
The side,
hey, love.
The other side now,
hey, love.
Now everybody,
hey, love.
It's all love.
Dude, that beat is ridiculous.
That's a fun one. I did, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god, the beat is so good, man. It's like
that one's fun.
That's it, the song, the beat. Man, it's like man. It's just slamming. Do you play this all live still?
I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah, and my brother Ahmed Effendim is on that one as well. He blessed that track so nicely. Yeah, we've gotten to perform it together, I think like 3 times now. I do a different rendition of it with the band, which I'm actually not going to talk about because I want you in particular to see it live for the first time, because cool. it's part of a medley, and delivered in a way that I know you'll love. I can't. It's really hard for me to do a set without that song in it.
Yeah, I mean, it just has such a powerful message.
Yeah, and the crowd, the show love, the crowd like singing along. It's just so, yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, and what do you feel like is the best venue or kind of like performance experience that you've had while getting your music across? Is it festivals? Is it clubs? Is it like backyard underground parties? Because, I mean, that's like what is so great about music is there's going to be a vibe in a different place, and there's a different approach. Like, we'll play corporate parties, and that's great, but there's nothing like playing. There's like a dingy club sometimes, a lot of people. It's just got a vibe. A festival is great. It's wonderful, but it's sometimes not the same as playing, you know, like a college campus that where it's just like rowdy, you know, party, you know, crowds, you know, so it's different. So what is that place for you where you're like, oh man, this is just lit all the time and just going off?
Yeah. I mean, like you, I've done festival shows. I've done tiny, like real intimate, like, you know, tens or like dozens of people shows. I've done like 4,000 or 5,000 people at club shows. And everything in between, you know, like hip hop nights, open mic nights, like your average hip hop show. I've done like school shows. I've done like really sterile venues. You know what I mean? Like I did a show once in a, in like a high school auditorium.
Wow.
And everyone was sitting down and it was a good vibe. Like people were into it, but the venue itself, like the room was so sterile. You know what I mean? You know, for me, lately, like my favorite thing is kind of like what you saw in the live clip earlier, me and the band, in a small enough, intimate enough venue to where I feel like everyone is sort of there together.
Right.
You know, 100, 200 people, 50 even, like we last show we did was it wasn't quite 50. It was between 50 and 100. It was small, intimate. And I love that because it's like the connection is so strong.
Well, and it's also, you can change the atmosphere in the room too. There's something about that where it's like, you know, I think that's one of the most powerful things in music. It's like, we come into a room, you don't know what it's going to be like. You don't know. And like, usually you sound check before, if you can, to an empty room, you have no idea what it's going to be like. And then when you come out and you see people and there's like this thing where it's like, oh, it's all of a sudden the energy turns on and it's like you take this energy and it's like a breath inhaling and then exhaling out. And it's like one of the most transformative experiences I think I've ever had as a human. And you know what I mean? It's like, there's something about it. I just saw this documentary on Tom Petty this last weekend and he said,
the Making of Wildflowers.
It wasn't that, Cameron Crowe directed it, and it was called Tom Petty's Beach Party, and it was before Wildflowers. It was amazing. Okay, and he said, you know, whenever I play these shows, he's like, try coming down off that. He's like, I can't go to sleep. I'm just like wired, because it's like the most like raucous, you know, like experience you can have as a human, to kind of like walk into a room, energize the room, and the room energizes you back. And then you go into a little room and you're trying to go to sleep. He's like, it's almost impossible. And that's how I feel. Like, I'm like, whenever I've had those experiences, I'm like, I don't sleep because I'm just so wired from that energy. And it's so hard to kind of control that. But that's also the rush of the whole experience of being a musician or a performer.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Like, and then you try to find the way to like capture that in a studio before the world hears it. And then you go back out. I mean, it's like got this ebb and flow, which is really beautiful, but it's also like extremely powerful. You know, it's one of the things I love. Where can people find you if they want to find you online, and where are you performing next? What's next for you?
Yeah, so I'm online pretty much everywhere, YouTube, Instagram, not TikTok. I don't really do anything on TikTok.
You gotta change that. It's like the new wave. I'm sure you're kidding.
I know. But YouTube, I'm pretty focused on like YouTube and Instagram right now. Spotify, Apple, Tidal, of course, like all those places. Just look for Soof. I assume links will be posted with the show or maybe not, but on Instagram and on YouTube, I'm Soof World. So Soof, S-O-O-F World, W-O-R-L-D. My next live show is TBD. I'm back and forth right now on a booking that'll either be end of November, beginning of December here in LA. It'll be local.
That's cool. We'll have to do a show together, man.
We got to. I was going to say, you know, like, the other thing I've done, I've done more of lately than I have in the past is, you know, I'll get booked for like acoustic gigs.
Right.
And then I'll just show up and it'll be like me and Pedro, who plays guitar in the caravan with me. And I love that. Like hip hop, acoustic, just like an MC and a guitar player is so dope.
Dude, I got to have you on my Songwriter in the Round.
Yeah, we got to do that. We got to do that.
So cool. Yeah. I do a night at Hotel Cafe. It'd be so cool to bring hip hop into that. It'd be so lit.
Yeah, let's do it.
Man. Well, Soof, it's been a pleasure having you on Wake Up Hollywood. We're going to have you back in about 9 or 10 months.
Thank you. All right, Word. Thank you so much.
Keep taping your performances. Keep sharing your spirit, because it's a great and wonderful thing.
Likewise, man. Same to you.
Check out at Soof World on YouTube and Instagram. Is that correct?
Yeah, Soof World. There's a couple underscores in the middle of Soof and World on Instagram, but Soof World.
And I got to ask you, you spell your name S-E-I-F.
Good question. Great question. My given name is Safe, fairly common, common enough Arabic name, which I spell S-E-I-F. Some people will spell it S-A-I-F. Soof is just kind of like, it was this very random, like once or twice family nickname. But I didn't really have nicknames growing up. And then, my wife started calling me Soof, after we got married, and some friends of mine, like, got a hold of that and it stuck, you know, this is now 12, 13 years ago. And so when I came back to music after my hiatus, I changed from Saifuddin. I used to go by Saifuddin, which is the full version of my name. And I changed it to Soof, which has been, you know, it's been good.
Powerful. That's good. Yeah. I love it. Well, Soof, it's been a pleasure. Your music's amazing. I'm going to have to catch you live. We're going to have to do some shows together.
Absolutely.
And check out Soof's music on YouTube and Instagram at Soof World. And on behalf of Soof, myself, and Sam, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Peace, love, and hair grease.
Peace.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.